Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Ryan McCormick, 25 years of volunteer and career experience, fire chief for the City of Alexander and Collegeville Volunteer Fire Department in Arkansas, creator of the First In Fire Conference, where the goal is to help with decision-making skills from command to the crews battling the incident. Chief McCormick fits the bill for a firefighter's chief, the mindset of people first, mission priorities, knowing and doing your job, aggressiveness, caring for one another, and outside training are just a few things Chief spoke the gospel on. Take notes, ladies and gentlemen. This interview is full of nuggets and gems being dropped. My favorite quote from Chief McCormick is this: be a game changer, not a game player. With that, I present Mr. Ryan McCormick.
My name is Ryan McCormick. I'm the fire chief of Alexander Fire Department in Alexander, Arkansas. Been the fire service about 22 years of career, also as a volunteer throughout my life. How did I get into fire service? It was just really easy. I lived close to a fire station growing up, and I saw fire trucks go up and down the road, and that just kind of excited me as a young kid. As I grew up with a servant's heart, that was the direction of life that I chose to go down. And started into a paramedic, and then went through the fire service, and so now this is where I'm at. So I landed my feet in just outside of Little Rock, Arkansas, as a career chief, and also a volunteer fire chief throughout my career as well. But this is where I'm at right now in life. So enjoying it and loving serving others, and having a great team to build a culture.
Okay, all right. And do you come from a line of firefighters, or are you the first one?
I'm the first one. I actually come from a line of being a preacher's kid, and so a little different than norm. And so I think that's where I get the reasoning of being a servant's heart. That's kind of what I said earlier about being willing to serve and helping others, and seeing that aspect of life just kind of went down a different path.
Okay. Now, did you start out as a volunteer, or did you jump right into the career field first?
No, I was volunteer first. Went through when I started as a volunteer, just outside or in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is kind of where I planted. That's where I was born and raised, and started in that area as a volunteer, and then moved to Arkansas. Went to college just outside of Chicago. Got my paramedic license at a fire department, and worked part time there. Then moved back to Little Rock. And became a career firefighter, and just kind of worked my way up the ranks, and had opportunities to advance at from three different departments, and it's kind of landed my feet as a career chief about a year and a half ago.
Okay, all right. With that being said, when you realized this is what you wanted to do, did you surround yourself with men and women that actually cared about the job, or was that something that you went you saw through experience of how to navigate through? Okay, I don't want to hang out with these individuals, but I want to follow these.
Oh, absolutely. So I think that's a great question, and also a question that you can just use in general, what and any type of career that you're in. But to say what you're focus on what you're saying is. When you get in the fire service, you kind of surround yourselves with those that want to make you better. There are those that sit on the sidelines, and then there's those that walk right by you or run right by you. We all have seen them. We've all been a part of it. We all make a choice of what you want to do in life. I saw what I didn't want, and I went the other direction. I didn't want to be one of the firefighters or somebody in the career that wanted to sit on the sidelines and watch others succeed, because I felt honestly that you and I probably are and many out there, you challenge yourself. You challenge yourself to where you want to reach your goals. And as you reach your goals, you set more goals. And I think that's kind of one of the things that I did is I set a goal, and I gave myself an opportunity to reach it. And then once I did that, I set myself another goal and just continued to grow. But again, though, it wasn't really about me. in my personal journey, it was about what I could share and what I could accomplish for others, and help others as well. And I don't want to be that I want to say lame duck that just takes up a recliner in the fire service. I wanted to be a game changer instead of a game player. And I think that's important in the fire service, because we have a lot of folks sitting on the sidelines. We have a lot of folks sitting in recliners and not doing. Just had a conversation with a great friend of mine this morning, who is basically, you know, at the moment of, do I quit? Do I not quit because of attitudes and because of people not wanting to work and not wanting to do? And he's trying his hardest at a pretty big department. And to me, it's like, that's a reward if you're having to work trying to make people better. Because that's a challenge as well. And if I can challenge them to get better and do better, then that's my goal, because it helps me become better. What I told him, and just kind of what same question and answer is I think we forget that we use our time, or I think sometimes we realize that we're not using our time wisely. We're focusing on the wrong individual, or the wrong book, or the wrong mentoring. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I think we have to give it our all to everybody, but sometimes those people don't want it, and not because they don't want it, they don't get it. I think that's a big play in your playbook is we focus on folks that don't want it, and we're using our energy. And that's what I was telling this captain this morning, is quit using your energy trying to focus on folks that don't want it, because they don't want it because they don't get it. And they want to be, they don't want to succeed, nor do they want to help you or your fire department succeed. So why do I want to waste my time? And I think that's part of what the question is I surround myself with those that make me better. And surround myself with those that make me better, help me and challenge me. If I don't have a challenge from being a captain, from a battalion chief to a firefighter or a rookie, then all I'm going to do is grow and see what these guys are doing on the sidelines. And I don't want to be on the sidelines. There's too many folks sitting on the sidelines in the fire service right now that don't get it. And I think it's those that I want to be with that do get it, that put themselves out there, that want to make a change. It's a change agent. And that's where I'm at. So,
okay.
Man, I don't know if I went down I went down a different kind of road there, but I hope that worked for you.
No, you're good. You're good. So all these, so I have questions that relate directly to, so all right, you climbed the ladder and you made the decision of becoming a fire chief.
Yes, sir.
My first question to you is, what I always ask, like the guests, your internal breaker, what trip that made you go, all right, I'm going to go for this position, and why?
Yeah. And that's a great question. I really didn't have a, can I tell you a story?
Sure.
Can I tell you a story? So I was, I worked for a career department outside of Little Rock for 18 years, worked my way up to to a captain and, at a pretty progressive department. Was there for 18 years and just felt at the moment that I was in the wrong place. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And this was me. It's not for everybody. I started testing for other departments. I was like, you know what? This is just not that the department that I was working at for 18 years was wrong. Have a lot of great friends and relationship. It just something felt like I had that I was at a place that I needed to make a change for my life. And so I did, I tested and I restarted my career as a rookie.
Wow.
At the largest department in the state in Little Rock. And so I went through rookie school, did all the rookie stuff, you know, and I brought what I knew, but kept my mouth shut because I didn't have to, because I was a rookie. Does that make sense? You need to be seen, not heard, and actions speak louder kind of deal. And so, so I started working, got moved to the busiest station in the city, loved it. It was just a great atmosphere. It actually changed my thought process of the fire service. You know, being there 18 years, you only see kind of one aspect of a fire department, right? But you go, but again, I go out and teach all over the United States and you see others, but it's what you have at home is where your is what your focus is, right? And so having the opportunity, and I'm gonna say it's an opportunity to start back over was a blessing for me. Because it changed my mind. It changed my mind of what I was used to, what is actually out there, and also what other folks can bring from another department, another agency, right? And I was blessed to be a part of those two departments. And as I did, I had some opportunities to apply for chief jobs. And I had applied for one in Central Arkansas about 3 years ago prior to moving, leaving. And I got second out of number one, in out of 18 people. And I was like, you know, maybe I do have an opportunity to have something that other people want to have and see. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I challenged myself is I want to be able to make others better and lead a team that wants to be better, and be a part of a department that is aggressive, progressive, and is there for them. And I think that should be one of your mission statements in all your fire departments is the them part, right? And we use them a lot in this society right now in the fire service, and maybe a little bit too much, but that's realistically is what we're here for, is the citizens that we choose to serve, those that we choose to protect. And so that leading down that story is I had an opportunity to, I just thought, you know, I just want to continue to advance my career level. And, you know, going back, sometimes I felt, I'll tell you, I felt I had to go backwards and move forwards. Okay. And that's kind of where I was. That was the whole thing is I felt I had to go backwards to go forward. And I was granted an opportunity at the city of Alexander to take over there as a chief. And man, it's been a great move. And we have a great team and we work a lot, and we just changing the culture day by day. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy. It's not about the title of what shirt I'm wearing. It's actually about helping to be a change agent.
Okay. Okay. And with that being said, for those that don't know, can you tell us a little bit about the city of Alexander?
Yeah.
How many stations, personnel, things of that nature?
Yeah, sure. We have we're a suburb of Little Rock, Arkansas. We actually have one station. We're Engine House. We run about 800 to 900 calls a year. We're on number 40 working fires for the year. And we have 10 full-time and 12 part-time. We are a career department that's kind of progressed. We started out with, when I got here, we had seven or eight guys, and we moved up to 9-10 full-timers. So we're gradually growing, and we're able to purchase a brand new fire truck when I got in there just because there was needs. Mm-hmm. Changing the atmosphere, changing the direction of travel, and helping our guys, and when I say our guys, our firefighters, become better. And that's part of my goal is to make them better than I am.
Okay, understood. So my next question for you is, what are your expectations as a fire chief from the members of your organization?
Wow, that's a good question. I can go down that path, and in fact, I had a conversation again with one of, as I was walking through the door this morning about expectations. You know, my expectation is to allow them to do their job without having to be managed. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And I don't want to be a chief or an individual that has to micromanage my guys. There's times and places I get it as a leader, as a captain, as a battalion chief, that you have to have the direction, right? But I want to be able to place in those guys in our team's hands the ability to do their job without having to be asked or told. And I think those are some of the expectations I expect my guys. And I expect my guys to want to be better in advance. I don't expect them to be sitting on the recliner. Now let me back up. There's a great time for downtime, right? Everybody mm-hmm. has downtime. That's not what I'm saying. We gotta be busy work for our entire shift. I don't believe in that. I don't allow that. You do your job, do it well, and then go chill. Right. You know, that's my expectations. I don't have any I gotcha moments. Where the gotcha moments is when the gotcha moments is that for me is this, and I have this almost every day with somebody, is when the bells ring, I want you out the door. Right. I want you out the door because somebody's holding you their breath for you to save them. And then when you get on scene, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You should know what to do. My expectations is so you know your job. And if and if you don't know your job, then we will work to make sure you understand your job. But we want to get up to a place. I want to be able to get to a place where my team, our team, understands looking at somebody without having to be told to do it. Does that make sense? And I call it a well-oiled machine. And that to me is one of my expectations, because I don't want to have to be the person directing a choir or a dance recital. I want to be a chief that gets out there and says, let's go to work. We know what we're going to do, and let me help you get to it, to accomplish your goals. Does that make sense?
That is fantastic. Yes, sir. Loud and clear on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
my next question for you, the term aggressiveness, you know, it's a buzzword, you hear it a lot, but in your perspective, your opinion, what does that word mean to you?
Man, I think there's a fine line between aggressiveness and, what's the best way of saying it? Being aggressive and then sitting on neutral or on drive. Right.
Okay.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. I said, I think everybody should be aggressive in nature. And how I say this, and I did a keynote at the Fire Academy a couple of weeks or a month ago, is you should be just as aggressive cleaning the toilets as you are cleaning the fire truck. And you should be just as aggressive putting your gear on and going into a fire. And I know that sounds kind of stupid, right? But the mindset is, I want you to be moving. I want you to be aggressive. I want you to be one of the biggest things is I want you to be able to not have to be told what to do. Be aggressive. I want you to be too aggressive that I'm going to have to show you and say, hey, come back here. Come back this way. Let me hold you back just a minute, and let's figure out how we can hone in this aggressiveness, right? And I don't want somebody sitting back here and me doing more than they are, or my guys doing more than they are, and they're just getting the ride, right? Mm-hmm. You're riding off of my shoulders. And I want every team member to be the aggressiveness to make everybody more aggressive. And I hope that makes sense. I think we challenge ourselves. I think we need to challenge ourselves, but I also think we have in the fire service of that aggressiveness state question that you're asking me about, the aggressive side of it, I think it's lacking in the fire service.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, sir.
And I think it's lacking in leadership. I think it's lacking in being a company officer. I think it's lacking in training. And I think it's overall just lacking in the ability to do your job. And if you're comfortable not being aggressive, don't show up on my fire scene. How about I just leave it at that?
Understood. So with that being said, and I totally agree with you, why is it? So the way my perspective on it is, I'm not a chief officer, but being a chief officer, I'm sure one of your worst fears and any chief officer's fears is a line of duty death, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But in this profession, you can do everything right to the T and something happens. To me, it's just the way it's going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like we all have our born date and we all have an end date. With that being said, you know, you have some organizations that put safety upon safety, like it's just a safety knot on top of policies and procedures. And to me, it's like whenever you have an organization that does that, either leadership or administration or whatever you want to call it has forgotten, like, we are firefighters first.
Yes.
Like, the notion of firefighters above citizens, it's slowly changing, but at some point that was it was the highlight in a year where we put ourselves above the people that we're protecting.
Well, we should. You absolutely, you're absolutely correct. We should be willing to risk our lives for those that we choose to serve. And that is part of the, that is part of the, when you sign that line on an application is to become a firefighter or a paramedic or something like that, you understand that there's a chance that the first time you put your boots on, maybe the last time. And you have to understand that are you willing to give your life for somebody else? You know, does that make sense? And I get it. I truly believe that. I think we have too many safety polices in the fire service. And when I say safety police, I think we have a culture in some of the fire service and leaders is that they tend to dwell on the safety side of life and the safety side of the fire service. You can't do that. If you focus on this isn't safe, so we're not going to do this, you're going to lose lives. Not only lives that we protect or choose to serve, you're going to lose lives that maybe one of your firefighters or one of your members, because you're not focusing on hitting it hard, going, being aggressive, putting water on the fire, making those searches, VESing, quick to turn out, quick to arrive, right? Does that make sense? You're not focusing on being a change agent. You're focusing on being a safety agent. There's times and places to be safe. There's times and places to be having safety in your mind, but being aggressive, right? And I think we've all been down that road. I've seen places where, like you said, is we have to be we're focusing on our safety side of it more so than why we're being firefighters or what our job is supposed to be. I tell you right now, I don't want to go work with them. I don't want to be a part of that kind of an agent or part of that department, because you don't get it. You've lost the reasoning you wear your badge. You've lost the reasoning that you applied to be a firefighter, or you've lost the reasoning of why you became a fire chief. If you're making safety your priority, then you have failed as an officer. You've failed as a leader. Because safe, there is parts of, I get it, there is parts of cleaning you have to have safe. I'm 100% about safety, right? Please understand that I'm not going to throw the, hey, let's just throw the safety word out of there and let's just go John Wayne kind of deal. That's not what I'm asking or saying. You can over safe, you can be overly safe and still do your job aggressively.
Well put, well put. And with that being said, I'm not sure your department's budget and training, but how do you try to bring realistic training to the members of your organization?
Absolutely. So one of my goals is to send all of our guys somewhere outside of Arkansas a year to go to a conference, whether it's FDIC, whether it's CF Kirk Isaacson or Dixie Firemanship or Wichita wherever. My goal is to send my guys outside of my area to become to get fed. I think that's important. That I'm a big fan of training. In fact, I think you heard I run the First In Fire Conference, and so I'm a big advocate in training. I was a training captain for 13 years at the department I was at in Arkansas before I moved, and I'm an advocate for training. And because I don't think it's training, I believe training should be the backbone of your fire department. I truly believe that. I think that's where you start revolving your mission statements and start revolving of how your department is going to look and where your department is going to travel in the future. And training should be one of your number one priorities. And then from there, you kind of work your organizational charts down. So I expect my guys and our team to be more involved with training, not just local, but outside as well. So I want to give them a chance to learn. I don't want, man, it's, we all know this little factor of it's okay to learn around your neighborhood, right? But you're missing so much sitting inside your neighborhood. And so I want our guys to see something outside of our hometown, or so outside of our little 60-mile radius. And just go get fed. I think it's important for everybody to go get fed, whether you go to a first in conference or you go to a just a another department outside of here or outside of your department, to just get a different perspective. And when they come back, I think the other part, I think we're in the fire service, we get people get busted, or they get not busted, they get ridiculed by bringing something back that they hear, and it's not wrong. It's not wrong with what they've done. Does it meet your mission? Does it meet your fire department standards, or does it meet your goals? It may not, but that doesn't mean what they've learned is different, or I'm sorry, what they've learned is wrong, right? And so I think the problem with some of the problems, and also is people get ridiculed by bringing something new, and I'm okay with new if it makes us better, if it makes those guys better to be able to protect our guy, our citizens that we serve. And it brings back something that's going to be beneficial. I'm 100% for it, and that's why I want to send my guys to those training, those outside training classes. Is go bring something back that's going to better us, not just you, but us. And whether it's a operational side of it, or it's a mentoring side of it, or if it's a leadership side of it, or it's a hands-on side of it. I don't care, but bring something back with that you've learned that can make us better, and then share it. You know, one of the worst things of being a firefighter is not sharing.
Definitely,
And
yes.
I think, and then, you know, again, I think sometimes for our people are fearful for sharing because, or not even fearful. Oh yeah, they're afraid to share because they don't want to become a target, right?
Right.
And I think, and I think I'm man, believe me, I have had so many different targets on my back. It's fun. I've just realized it's fun now. Just put a target on your back, right? You know, let's be somebody. If you're gonna make a change in the fire service, or you're gonna try to step outside of that box, you're gonna have a target on your back. And because what has happened is you've just gotten folks uncomfortable. I'm comfortable being uncomfortable.
So with that being said, that was actually going to be a question I was going to ask you. So with you being the creator of the First In Conference, we all know there are some chief officers, fire chiefs out there that don't side with outside training. It's no, we offer it here. We're not sending you here because cost of wear and tear on gear, whatever the case may be. So when you decided to do that, and I mean, I don't need you to like to divulge any information, but I'm sure other chief officers were like, "What is this? What is this guy doing?" And how did you deal with that?
Sure. So, a backstory, when I was at when I was in the training division, you know, sometimes when you try to be a change agent, you just kind of get yourself, you know, in a
Right.
and people just don't like it, right? And so, that was one of my things about why I chose to become, or why I chose to be start a conference, is I wanted to be around. I wanted to give the opportunity to those that I saw that weren't being able to give or won't be able to receive that training that I wanted to, that I was trying to offer, or others that needed. Does that make sense? And I've traveled all over the United States for many years teaching with Task Force One and Fast Board, and had a great network and a great relationship with other chiefs and other instructors, game-changing instructors. Does that make sense? That are in the fire service right now and making a change. And what I saw was is I wanted to be around like-minded folks, right? And not that I didn't have it where I was at, because I did. I was around. I had people that were had like-minded, but I wanted to make something. I wanted to be different. I wanted to make it different. And I wanted to be able to bring something to Arkansas, and bring something to my area that Folks didn't want to just leave Arkansas to go out to like an FDIC or down to Florida or in that, you know, does it make sense? And so what I did was I stepped out and asked a couple friends. I shared my story. You know, I shared the stories like, hey, I believe in the fire service. I believe in the training. I believe that we can become better and mentor better. And make ourselves better as in the fire service here. Would you help me? And all I had to do is tell them that story, and they're like, "We're in," right? And so that has just grown. The first in conference has just grown. And yeah, there's people that aren't interested in being on the first in conference or coming to the conferences. Heck, there's people that don't want to go to training in your own fire station, right? And
Yes.
so I mean that's so I'm not that's okay. And honestly, I don't really want folks to come to a conference if they don't want to be there, because you're taking energy out of folks that want to be there. And does that make sense? And so my reasoning behind the first in is to energize those that are coming. And when they leave, if they need to pick me up, or if they need maybe a redo, right? Or just a time away from their job because they've been put on the sidelines, right? Or they feel like they've been put on the sidelines, or they're at the fourth down and they feel that they're gonna have to punt. I don't want them to be at a fourth down. I want to go for a touchdown. I want to be on, you know, first down and goal. And so I think that's one of the reasons. It's not about me. Just want to throw it out there. It's not about me. I'd like to sit on the sidelines and let everybody take care of business. Does it make sense? I'd like to showcase it. I want to be a part of it. But at the end of the day, I'm okay letting these guys win and me sitting right here and just being able to get everybody together. And that's that. At the end of the day, if I can accomplish that with the first in and conference, and these guys leave with a better attitude, a better understanding here, I squirrel just went all over the place. Sorry. But I think I'll leave it at this. All my energy and all my work that we do for the first in conference, right? If it saves one person, it's well worth it. If it saves one person becoming injured or killed, saves one person from committing suicide, if it makes one person better in their life, better for their family, better to help them achieve their goals, it's worth it for me. That right there is what the time and energy goes to.
And with that being said, do you find that with your outlook on how you decide to lead, do you see the reward within your members? Like, are they engaged? Are they wanting to go out and train? Are they wanting to be public servants for for the communities that they serve?
Sure. Oh yeah, they're waiting in line to go to places. They're waiting in line to see if we can, you know, vacations. Can I take vacation, go to this, or can I just? In fact, it boils down to now I don't have to seek out who wants to go. They're seeking out to me, going, I want to go, and in fact, they're wanting to go to more conferences that I can share, and or go to more training that they can that I'm able to send them to, right? And so from a financial perspective, and so I'm willing to give them the time, is just in order to make them better. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So
Yes, sir.
that's my I want to, man, I want to, as a chief, I want to be able to give our team and our firefighters what they want, and if I can accomplish it, that's my goal. And I think they understand that. I think if they realize that we do have some obstacles to overcome, but I'm fun trying to overcome obstacles. I enjoy that. That's a game for me to make sure to become better for those guys.
Okay. All right. With that being said, the topic of leadership, there has been here recently a lot of, or a number of situations involving what I would say poor leadership or not the right leadership, where your members are seeing that, chief officers are not sticking up for their men for actually trying to do the work that they're put there to do. You had the recent issue down in Fort Worth, Texas, that was gaining a lot of buzz and a lot of words and comments and feelings and all that, and things of that nature. So with that being said, with you being a chief officer and when it comes to leadership, what's your take on just whether you're a company officer, a chief officer, whatever the case may be, what's your take on why sometimes we have what I would call like ineffective leadership?
It's a good question. Ineffective leadership, because they don't know how to handle it. I think, there's all sorts of books out there on leadership, how to be a leader, how to solve problems, how to do that. But I think at the end of the day is there's a difference between those that want to be a leader and those that choose to be a leader. And I think some people are placed in positions that they shouldn't be placed in, and it shows, and it fails, and they fail hard, and they go down hard. But there's also individuals that are leaders that just strive and just take that leadership and take it even one step further. And those are the ones that you want to be a part of, right? Those leaders are the ones that you want to be surround yourself by. The ones that are failing, they're either put in a place because they can't do something else. They can't be a line officer, or they can't do this, or they can't do this. Or they know somebody, so that's why they've been put in that position, right? But at the end of the day, though, I think your leadership style, your leadership responsibility is those that those are the ones that you want to be around that make a difference. And you're either a and from a leadership side, from a leadership perspective, is you are it's your choice. How do you choose to lead? Do you want to be a leader that folks want to follow, or do you want to be a leader that folks want to say, you know what, I need to stay away from that person, right? We all seen them. We've all been around them. And I think that's part of the culture that you have to be mindful of. And when you step into a chief's role, or you step into an officer's role or whatever, you're choosing two roads. The path that you choose, maybe come make sure that path that you drive is wise. About the path that you choose is wise, because you have now become an influencer in those that are with you in the back seats, and that changes, that those influences will either change for the good or change for the bad. And if you don't, now let me back up. I've made some poor decisions. Not all from a leadership perspective. If you're a leader and you can't say, and you say you didn't make bad decisions, and shame on you. You're just a poor leader, right? If you're willing to admit that you've made decisions as a leader and learn from them, then you know what? I value that. I value owning it. Does it make sense? Owning your decisions, owning your mistakes. And I value that. I mean, I've made mistakes. I make mistakes daily. Rock on, right? As long as you learn from them, correct? And so, but to finish up the path is there's leaders in leadership roles that shouldn't be leaders. Just be out there. We understand that. But there are leaders that are making changes in the fire service and leaving others behind. And those are the leaders that you want to be a part of. Those are the leaders you want to follow. Those are the leaders that I think that is it's important to be a part of and to learn from.
Okay. I 100%
I answer that
agree.
question? Okay.
Yes,
I don't
sir.
know
No,
if
you
I went
did.
a
You
little bit
did.
later on, but
It's your take on it for sure, and I 100% agree. And one of the reasons why I also wanted to reach out to you was your Facebook post. When you posted, I think firefighters that truly are passionate about the job can certainly agree with a lot of your posts, because they're genuine and like It's pretty much like you are a firefighter, you're just carrying a chief's title. So, like you have never forgotten where you came from.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I get ridiculed by my Facebook posts. It's okay. That's just kind of who I am, honestly. Most of my fun posts or posts I put on there is sitting on a tractor mowing my yard, thinking about fire stuff, right? I've never forgotten where I've come from. In fact, I'll sit in the back. I'll go out today if they have a fire and I get in the back seat of the fire truck. I have no problem doing that. In fact, I would much rather be inside fighting a fire than sitting outside commanding a fire. Anytime I get a chance to go sit on that fire truck, I'm there. I'm willing to go do it. And my Facebook post is just me. It's my opinion. It's nobody else's. If you don't like it, keep scrolling, right?
Right,
You got that thumb or that finger, keep scrolling, or delete it. I don't care. It's an opinion, right? We all have them. Sometimes you don't agree with them, sometimes you do. I think the problem is we for, I think some of the, there's not a problem. Hang on. Some of the stuff that I put out there is just factual information that I feel like people forget or people don't want to say. They're thinking it, but they're not going to say it, right? That's one of my flaws is I say what I want to I say what I'm thinking sometimes, and that's not a bad thing, I don't believe, but these other folks in the other fire service, if I can just be a light to those guys, great, because I do believe that people are wanting to hear some of the stuff, right? Wanting and believe that, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? And why are we not doing this, or why he has that same mindset of others, right? And so I just it's not about me. It's just about me sitting on a mower, mowing my yard, thinking about fire stuff.
All right. But I will say a lot of your posts and the comments and the likes reflected, they are spot on. Like
Yes.
they truly are. And it's
Yeah.
one of those things. It's hard. I think what it comes down to is sometimes you have individuals, whether you're a leader or a firefighter or if whatever position that you're in the fire service and you're not fulfilling the duty, I think those are the ones that are being affected. Because unfortunately, we have people in roles that, like you said earlier, shouldn't be in these roles
Sure.
or should be given an option. Hey, which kind of leads me to my next question for you. How do you deal with when to say when to whether it's a recruit or a company officer of many years, that's just not cutting it. That's just not meeting your standard.
Yeah, so your expectations. We talked about that earlier, right? The expectation level, okay? So you set the tone. You set the tone coming in and saying, here's my expectations of what I expect you to achieve, be, and manage, right? And so if those individuals aren't meeting those that are expectations, right? I would much rather remove them now than have to go to a firefighter death funeral, starting from a recruit perspective, right?
Right.
And so now, but I think you have to give everybody the opportunity. I think we come in the fire service lately and is we need boots on the ground, right? We have these voids and we need to fill these voids, right? And I think we're doing a disservice to the fire departments and the fire service of just putting boots on the ground. We're allowing mediocre firefighters to come out of fire training schools and academies, right? I don't want to have to train firefighters. Make sense?
Yes.
I don't want that. I don't want that. And we shouldn't allow that if we're sending firefighters to training to get rookie schools, if you're not having your own, we shouldn't be having to retrain to our standards. There should be a standard across the board that we should expect them to come out. And if they aren't hitting those expectations, they shouldn't go forward. They just shouldn't. And I don't care if you're one of the best individuals on the job or best individuals in a rookie class or whatever. If you're not hitting those standards, why are we focusing on that, right? Because we do. We do.
Yes, sir.
We want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt and the chances. And I've been there. I've given the same thing. But at some point, somebody has to make the decision and say, and stand up and kind of be the bigger person and say, all right, this guy's just not getting it. This person's just not, it's not a right match, right? And those are tough decisions because you're dealing with somebody's livelihood. You're dealing with somebody's job. You're dealing with somebody's who chose to sign that application opportunity, right? But I think we have to realize is if they're not meeting the standards, and it doesn't need to be the, it needs to be your standard, the fire department standard, not, does that make sense? And so if you're not meeting those, quit in the fire service, y'all, quit sugarcoating and just, and getting them out there. You're doing an unjust service to the fire departments and to the fire service. You just are. Now go back to your officer development or officers that are not meeting your standards, right? Yeah, that goes down to your, that's a tricky slope travel sometimes, right? Because they've been promoted into that, so those positions. Mm-hmm. And so one of the biggest things that I would say is give them, like I said, give them your expectations, give them your, you know, give them an opportunity to succeed, right? It's on them. If they want to become better or rise to the occasion. That's the biggest thing, is rising to the occasion, rising to your reasoning of why you're an officer or officer development. Just because you've made that title doesn't mean you get to keep that title. I truly believe that. I truly believe that there should be, what's the word I'm looking for? There should be continuing education for chiefs. I went there. Sorry.
I'm about to say you did go there.
I just went down that path. I apologize, but I truly believe that there needs to be some sort of standard that fire chiefs have to get or be a part of every year in order to continue growing. It helps just not them, but it helps their department, right? Once fire chiefs get in a position of the fire chief, guess what? A lot of them forget, right? They get there's that wall that they forget about the operations side of it, and they focus on the administrative side of it, right? I understand that your goal is administrative perspective, right? But my goodness, don't forget where you came from, right? Don't forget where you just rose to the occasion. But I think that I think fire chiefs, we do forget if we're not actively responding to these calls or actively involved in listening to our guys out there working in on the radio, or actively just going and just showing up to a fire, right? And just being there just to say, y'all, you know, let me help you change your bottle out. Let me get you some water. Hey, you got all good? Do you need anything? Right? Those kind of things. If we're not actively doing that, You are losing value. You're losing value as a chief. There's large departments, there's small departments. I understand that. Right. I just think that those small nuggets go a long way to just showing up on a scene, right? Or showing up and drinking coffee, or showing up and drinking some Dr. Pepper somewhere, or just stopping by and saying, hey, what do y'all got going on? Right? What do you have going on? Let me be. You know, but again, though, people think that as a threat too, as a chief showing up. They do. Yeah. They like, what hidden agenda is going on there? Y'all, there's no agenda. It's just, let's get out. We want to get out of our office and come out and be where we started. We want to go put our boots on again, right? We want to help load hose. Maybe we want to just come out and just check on you guys. It's okay. You know, but I think if you have that culture and you have that ability, your firefighters will appreciate that.
Yes.
If you keep those standards.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I truly believe that there should be some sort of continuing education for chiefs. Truly believe that. Because I think, and I truly believe that. How do you walk down that path? I don't know, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
That's something I'm working on.
Okay. And with that being said, I think departments that have a successful, a high rich culture, they're the ones that are not going, wait, there's an agenda behind the chief being here. Like, they already know, like, this individual is one of us.
Don't be afraid when the chief shows up to your fires that you've done something wrong. You know, maybe he needs to get out just as much as you want to get out as well, right? Maybe he needs to get out of his office to get re-energized. Maybe he just needs to get, or she, he or she or they need to get out and come and just see what their team's doing, right? Seeing if there's anything that needs to be fixed. You know, I like to just go out and observe, right? Observe what others are doing, and observing what can we, are we doing it right? Is there a way we can do it better? Do I need to do something better to make, do I need to get something that these guys don't have, right? That's part of a chief's responsibility. You can't do that sitting in the office. You can't.
Agreed. Agreed. 100%. 100%
So
agreed.
don't be afraid. Don't get upset if your chief shows up to a fire or one of your scenes unannounced. It's okay.
Right. With that being said, you mentioned that you go around the country to teach.
Yes, sir.
What are the things that you teach? And if so, I'm assuming it's definitely you must be teaching something on leadership, maybe potentially. With
Yes,
that
sir.
being said, what are you trying to achieve with that, and how does the department go about getting that resource to them? Because, like you said, we can't hoard the information. We
Right.
need this information being passed on.
So, a couple things. I go around with the Fast Board, Fast Rescue Solution, and teach hands-on fast rescue, and then also do some engine and truck work training, and teaching from a standpoint of your leadership or your officer development kind of deal is I want to go out and open the door, open the door to just hear a different perspective of the fire service, different perspective of being a leader, right? Different perspective of what officer development. And sometimes it's important, and I truly believe that it's important to share what you know, but also go in being humble, and because everybody's leadership skills, leadership styles are different, correct? And so I just want to I would, my goal is to just come and share things that I've learned. Not this, it's not about this is what you have to do. Correct. It's about what I've learned in my 25 years or 22 years of fire service, and what I've seen that are good, what I've seen that are bad, what I've seen that I would say throw in the trash, and what I would say is keep in your book, and then share that and showcase that, and where that leads is an open book, if that makes sense. Is we I love class involvement. I love, you know, nobody just wants to sit here and listen to me talk for an hour other than right now, right? And so, but and I get there are times and places as an instructor you got to go out and teach, but I want to be able to share just a little bit about the passion, a little bit about what I love to do, what I love to bring to the table, and what I brought to the table, and then open it up to the class to be involved. I learned just as much going to teaching as teaching. And so I want them to say, okay, you know what? Let's think of it's awfully fun to hear a path of what somebody's, you know, let's just say we have a let's use a scenario of a one-story residential house fire. How are you going to come in and how are you going to take care of that operational side of it, right? Does that make sense? And so I love hearing what's in their playbook. And that same playbook is from a leadership perspective too. How can I make you better? How can I make your fire department better? How can we make, and this, I'm not going to make your fire department better. You're going to make it better. I'm just another person bringing a different perspective on things that I've known or that I've learned from, right? And
Right.
so that to me is I want I just I loved going out and challenging. I think that's the biggest part about leadership is challenging others. And that to me is what I bring when I go to these training, when I go train with other departments, or is challenging them to become better leaders, to become better firefighters, to become better drivers, to become better line officers. And then together, let's find a way how we can challenge each other.
Absolutely. That's spot on. Spot on, Chief.
Thanks.
It's just it's one of those things, and I'm sure that there are a good number out there. But the fire service is so vast, and not a lot of people have social media or what that or want that limelight on them. But just from what how you talk, from remembering that you're a firefighter first, that the men and women under you are here for them. It's not vice versa. We have chiefs that think, yes, granted, and respect given, like it is your department, but I truly believe like it's what you can do for your members, to make them grow, to allow them to achieve what they want to achieve, and not vice versa of where you work for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're funny. It's funny you just brought that up. And I'm sitting in my office at work, right? I was telling you that I got online a little bit ago, and I said, take your time. I'm just doing some work and some. And I was just doing some brainstorming and some just reevaluating our last year, for being here at as a chief of the department. I was just going down of some accomplishments that we did, not what I did, but what we did, right? And I've just wrote it on a little notepad, and I'm going to put that out as an email to my guys today in my team of just, hey, remember that. Look what we did in a short time in 1 year of what we've accomplished, right? What we've been able to achieve, and some of the goals that we didn't think were in reach, we succeeded and exceeded it, right? And so I do think that's part of the fire service problem is we forget our goals, and then I also think we forget once we reach those goals, we forget that we did it. Excuse me. And we put ourselves back into a mindset of man, we haven't done anything. Well, yeah, you have. Your chief of your department and your whole team, you've accomplished a lot. It might be one thing, one big thing a year, but guess what? You've accomplished it. You achieved it. There was goals that we set for our guys and goals that we set that to get from a funding perspective to officer development to firefighter development, and I believe personally, and you can come and call one of my guys, I believe we've exceeded their expectations this past year. And so I'm happy. I'm happy. That's what I was going to put an email out today. I'm going to is man, I'm excited about what we've done in the first year, but man, I can't wait to see what this year brings us, right? And help achieve your goals and what is your expectations that you want for the fire department? I think that's something that you have to bring in as a fire chief is you got to get out there and sit on the back step and visit with them and say, hey, what's your expectations? There's no hidden agenda, guys. If a chief comes out there and wants to sit and have coffee or sit outside and recline with you guys at the engine bay smoking or a cigar or just whatever, hey, capitalize on it. Don't let it be a complaint session. Be a session that's going to be positive and bring something to the table. Bring that's I think that's what I look for is what are you bringing to the table that we can help with that I can help get obtain it.
And there's no, in my opinion, there's no issue if you bring complaints, but you have to bring solutions with it as well. Like you just can't be complaints.
No. If you're gonna come to me just with complaint after complaint, I'm gonna say, you know what? Next time you walk through my door, bring a solution with those complaints. If you're just gonna come and complain, then that door is not open for that anymore.
Understood.
I want solutions. And even if you bring a solution that's not obtainable, bring it. Maybe we can come up with this a compromise and find a different path to make that solution happen.
100%. And it's I swear just talking to you just because you've worked and with your perspective and your experience, you've had or you've worked for big departments to small departments. And I always tell people, it's all on what the individual wants. There are some individuals that want to work for the biggest city in their state. They want to be big city firemen. And there's people that are cool little suburban urban areas. But what I always tell them is the only difference between the two is call volume. It's the same
Exactly.
calls, though. It's the same problems.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yep, you're absolutely. You have the same problem in a small department. You have the same problem in a big department, right? What I did find out this a little bit is when I went to the bigger department is a lot of the problems go away because you're too busy running calls, right? And what I've seen in the fire service is where problems or non-problems become problems. is that stagnant time of when between calls, right? And everybody's mind starts moving, everybody's opinions start moving, and things start happening that really, when you're running and running and running and running calls, you don't have time to think about that. You got time to what your time is of training, taking care of the calls that you're going on, making sure your apparatus is in order, making sure your gear's good. You know, what's for dinner? That's important, right? Mm-hmm. What's for dinner? What's for breakfast? And what's for lunch? Those are three big deals right there, right? And you know, sometimes I remember at our station, we had a big breakfast and we had a big dinner. And in between lunch and dinner, or between breakfast and lunch, I'm sorry, breakfast and dinner, we just snacked because we were running. We didn't have time to stop for lunch. We just were running. And so, and I think that's again a part of that's a game changer too, of being where the complacency happens is sitting and not going out and doing. So if you're sitting, I challenge you. I'll challenge your folks that listen to you is if you're sitting because you're not having that many response calls or calls or services, then go do something. Go out and try to pull a line, stretch a line, throw some ladders. Go sit and you know, don't ridicule me, but there are some great training videos on YouTube. Go watch one or two of those, right? And see what you can learn from them. But go out and do something. Quit sitting around the table and start trying to mimic or trying to bring up something that's not a problem.
Right. I mean, we're our own and worst enemy. I say it all the
time. We are. Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it, right? I've worn those shoes before. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I understand that. But man, from a leadership perspective, from an officer's perspective, or a company officer's perspective, and it doesn't have to be that. It could be a firefighter. It could be a rookie firefighter, right? Hey, let's go do something. I'm tired of hearing y'all talking, right? Let's go do something. Or let's, what are you doing sitting around that table talking about something that's going to make me better?
Exactly. Spot on.
Right?
Yep. Yep, 100%.
That's what I expect.
100%. With that,
take it or leave it, man. take it or leave it.
I'm with you.
Just like my Facebook post, take it or leave it. Keep on scrolling.
I'm with you. Like I said, we've all been there, but it's one of those things. When you're right, when you're stagnant and your station, unfortunately, not busy running calls. That always tends to happen. We just find something to harp on, and we harp on it hard.
Yeah, and hard. And what is it benefiting? Just because you don't like it? It's an opinion. Are you going to be able to change it? If you can change it, then talk about it. If you can't change it, then all you're doing is wasting breath.
Absolutely. With that being said, Chief, before, because I like I said, I know you're a busy man, but with what would be your last advice to any individual out there, either surrounded or feeling like, you know, because we all have our seasons of life where whether we're into the job or we're not, you know, life experiences. But what advice would you give to that individual that just needs to? Maybe they're down in the dumps or their crews are just not getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, I could spend hours on that, you know, mm-hmm. we could spend hours on that. I think the one is don't give up. I think the biggest thing is don't give up. When I say don't give up, that means that you have a responsibility to go find out how you can't give up. Right. Find folks that are going to challenge you. That's going to make you better, not as a firefighter, but as an individual, as a husband or as a wife or as a son or a daughter. Challenge yourself and surround yourself with those that are game changers, not game players. I'm a big advocate of that. We have so many players out here that don't want to be a game changer. And I'm not, I think if you surround yourself with those type of players or those type of folks that want to make themselves, not only make you better, but make themselves better, you're going to evolve and become more passionate. You're going to evolve and become more aggressive for the job. You're going to evolve and become a better leader. And those are the individuals that I look to be a part of. Because it takes more, it takes more energy. You I mean, how does it work? It takes more energy to be around those that are negative than to be around those that are positive, right?
Yes.
And if you find yourself in a circle of folks that are sucking the energy out of, find yourself a new circle. Find yourself a new circle and then start challenging them. Because I'm going to tell you, if you find a few folks that's going to tell that are challenging you to be better, to be a better officer, to be a better person, to be a better leader, or whatever, you're going to start challenging them, and that's going to grow. But don't but also is this: when you put yourself out there, you're going to have haters.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so don't be, or be ready for that. Be ready for that. And it's okay, man. I got people in line right now waiting on tickets to be haters for me. Okay. And so I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Because you know what? They don't get it. And I'll and if and if and you don't like what I have to hear, turn me off. All
Well
right.
said, Chief. Yes, sir. No, you're
So
right. You're right. The target's on the
yeah,
back.
but you're right. You're right. But surround yourself with those that are going to make you better. I think at the end of the day, that's where you have to do is surround yourself with folks that are going to make you better and it's going to challenge you, man. That's why I believe these conferences are important. Not just first in conference with the other is you're around like-minded firefighters, right? That network could be from all over the United States, and you can pick up this great phone that we have right now, and you can say, "Hey, I got a question," right? Or, "Hey, I'm in a place of life that I don't know what to do," or, "Man, I'm struggling on XYZ," or, "Man, I just had this job and we did this," right? Surround yourself with folks that you want to be. That you want that wants to go make you better, or you're gonna make them better, and then grow,
100%.
and then just grow. You know, if you're sitting and not growing, you're doing disservice not only to you but the fire service.
Absolutely. And
And I don't want you on my team.
with that being said, we're gonna end it, Chief. But I actually hold on before we end it. My last question to you. I always ask guests this. So you're kind of already, I don't want to say at the pinnacle, but your position, you are the fire chief. Do you have any other goals before you decide you want to hang it up?
Man, I'm old, but I'm still young, right? So I still feel like I have some more to give. I want to leave when and if I leave, I want to leave Alexander better than I found it. And I truly believe that we're doing that right now. My goal is to possibly go to a larger department down the road in the future. That's a goal. If I get it, great. If I don't get it, great. But I always want to be involved in some sort of fire service activities. And I didn't share this, but I'm on the side of being a fire chief, I do sales for Lone Star Tactical Buildings, those training buildings
Okay.
and fire buildings. And so I thoroughly enjoy, I told you I love training, right? And so I thoroughly enjoy being able to help departments be able to get a training facility for their team. And so that's one of my biggest things right now, just kind of setting myself up, whether I stay here for 10 more years or be in the fire service 10 more years, or do I say, okay, you know what, let somebody else take the reins and let me work from the outside on a different perspective of making firefighters better. So that's where I'm at right now. But I don't see, unless my wife tells me I gotta stop being a fire chief, I'm like, I'm gonna continue on right now.
Understood. Understood. Also, if anybody would like to get a hold of you and your cadre company group that you go around and teach, how would they go about doing so?
Man, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'll tell you what it is. My phone number, 501-920-7254. 501-920-7254. I have it with me all the time. Call me, text me. My email, firstin.fd@gmail.com. firstin.fd@gmail.com. Give me an email. And if I can help you, Man, my door is always open. I'm willing to do whatever I can to help you, guide you, or send you somewhere. If I don't know it, I'll get you the answer, or I'll send somebody who's smarter than I am.
And with that being said, Chief, I truly, truly, I figured I was like this guy here. I'm thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank
Yes.
you very much, sir, for coming on and
It's a
spreading
privilege.
the
It's a
gospel,
privilege and
sir.
honor. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I thank you for letting me have the opportunity to share a little bit. I hope at the end of the day, I hope you learned. If somebody took a nugget from this, great. And I hope it was worth their time, and I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.